Thank you for joining us for Life in Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell & Collins, a.k.a. the tax man for Life in Taxes. He's getting last-minute updates there on his smartphone. It's funny, the generational divide here. He's got the phone in front of him, and that's it. And I got a million newspapers spread out in front of me here trying to get last-minute stories that were published 24 hours ago. So
there you go.
Old school, new school. But one thing doesn't change, life and taxes.
Very true.
How do you like that for a segue?
Very good, Mike. Yeah,
thank you. What do you got for us today, Andrew? What's up?
Wanted to start with just the update on where we stand relative to these bills that we've been covering for so many months, really since the beginning of the Biden administration. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about infrastructure, and we've been talking about this other bill, and what it's, I don't even know what you call it now.
Trillions.
The big spending bill.
Is it 3.5 trillion dollars?
3.5 trillion.
Yeah.
So as far as the infrastructure, the quote unquote bipartisan bill, we had 18 Senate Republicans join with all the Democrats to go ahead and pass that measure.
Including our two North Carolina senators.
Including Tom Tillis and Richard Burr. Mm-hmm. And the leader McConnell, the Republican Party, joined in as well. And that bill has now been passed and cleared the Senate. That's $1.2 trillion, $550 billion of new spending relative to infrastructure. And interestingly enough, Nancy Pelosi announced yesterday that they would not be taking that bill up this month. So the House is not going to try to pass that bipartisan bill, despite calls from the moderate side of her party to go ahead and get that bill taken care of and passed. So what you've got here, Mike, is you see what the writing on the wall is that Nancy Pelosi has chosen to, you know, put these two bills together,
right,
and wants to make sure that $3.5 trillion bill gets passed by putting pressure on the moderates in her party. Mm-hmm. To remember, the majority slim, three House members.
Yep.
So she's going to put pressure on the moderates in her party to vote for both of them as a package deal. And of course, same thing's going to happen in the Senate. Some telling signs though. Kristen Sinema, for example, sided with the Republicans on an amendment in the bipartisan bill relative to this potential for taxing capital gains at death. So she's obviously has some concerns, because that's one of the things we're keeping an eye on relative to this $3.5 trillion bill. Mm-hmm. is the proposal that they're going to deem you sell your assets at your death,
right,
and then pay capital gains taxes as a result of that. So that's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out, because obviously she's uncomfortable with that framework.
Well, look where she comes from, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of retirees down there.
Exactly.
And that would really play into her constituency. You know?
Correct.
It's heaven's doorstep, that in Florida, Arizona.
And we've heard Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema both say that they're uncomfortable with the total number, the $3.5 trillion price tag on the big bill. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, to be determined still. As we said, the bipartisan bill, really the only thing it did from a tax perspective is put some enforcement on cryptocurrency exchanges. Mm-hmm. That's really the only real tax measure that's included in the bill. The rest of it is quote unquote paid for by other means, not taxation itself.
It doesn't seem like they get down into the weeds or the brass tacks like they did back 30, 40 years ago under Reagan, where if you had a $2 tax, if you had a dollar tax increase, a dollar spending, you wanted $2 to come off to pay for it. Nowadays, I don't think they really care about the debt anymore.
No, it doesn't seem like
nobody's talking about that.
Yeah.
So you just run the presses, or just load up the digital bank accounts of the various agencies and say, there you go, we just took care of that problem. Next.
Exactly.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And it really doesn't have to do with quote unquote infrastructure. That's just the adjective used.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at it, the spending, and they compare them to the New Deal and they compare them to other packages, I mean, it's pretty staggering the numbers we're talking about right now. So, again, we'll keep you updated and we'll figure out exactly what the final bills are going to look like. It does look like this bill in some form or fashion, the infrastructure bill, will get passed in some way. But to be determined on the $3.5 trillion, still a long way to go.
But for people who have like family farms, family businesses, and you're thinking that'd be an easy transfer once, mom and pa, pass on. It's maybe you might be losing the farm, might be losing the business if these tax regulations go into effect.
That's right. That's the big concern here.
That's huge.
So
that's huge.
Also want to give you the opportunity to wield the gavel today. So yeah, this is a this is an interesting a court case that just came down.
Get my robe on here. Go ahead. My powder wig.
This is out of the United States District Court. So it's the U.S. Court of Federal Claims is actually the court where this involves. And this deals with a claim for a refund. So the general rules, let me just set the framework for our listeners so they understand. We've talked about it for many, many years on this show about the fact that if you do not make your timely claim for refund, i.e. you have 3 years to file your claim for refund from the date the tax return is due. If you don't do that timely, that refund goes poof.
The window shuts.
You've just made an advance to the federal government that you'll no longer be able to get back. So 3 years is your deadline. And it's a very important deadline because it's a hard deadline, so to speak. And in this particular case, this is called McCaffrey versus United States. And the facts of the case are very, very simple. We love simple fact cases on this show.
Nice.
Plaintiffs, for tax year 2013 filed, their return timely. April 15th, 2014, showing a tax liability of $70,000. Well, lo and behold, I guess they got some tax advice from someone and they said, wait a minute, what? You paid $70,000. You actually should have claimed a refund of $70,000.
So, swing.
Yeah, big swing there. So, of course,
let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do it. So this is 3 years later. Here they are getting their return put into the mail. And so April 15th, 2017, they go and put their return in the mail by putting four postage stamps on the envelope.
Oh, that's smart. In case it weighs a little bit more, they won't get bounced back. And rather than spending a couple more dollars on certified mail, dummies.
So anyways, so they put nice four stamps on this envelope, put it in the mail, don't think anything of it.
Good to go.
All right.
We're good to go. McCaffrey's.
Yep.
Living large.
$70,000 on the line. And they go with the four stamp method. Lo and behold, they get a notice from the IRS that says,
we never got it, but so I mailed it.
Says, we received your return. However, it was after the filing deadline.
No.
And remember, mailing's filing. So they go, wait a minute here. We went to the post office that day.
He stamped it.
That last day. And we put four postage stamps on there. We dropped it in the box. What do you mean that we didn't mail it in time? So that's what
video camera.
So that's what it comes down to in this particular one, which is they wanted to prove it through extrinsic evidence is what we call it. They wanted to be able to testify and have others testify.
They saw him at the post office.
They saw him at the post office.
Mildred was there and Gary was there.
So they wanted to present that evidence to corroborate the fact that this return was timely filed, timely mailed equals timely filed. Mm-hmm. And the IRS argues and says, well, wait a minute here.
Oh, man.
Let's look at this envelope. This envelope doesn't have a postmark on it. It's just not postmarked. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that's why we couldn't say that it was mailed on that particular day. Mm-hmm. We don't know when it was mailed. We know we received it because we marked it received on April 24th. So obviously 9 days after the return date. Mm-hmm. And they say, if you read the plain reading of section 7502, that the only way that you get to present extrinsic evidence is if you can't read the postmark that's on the envelope.
Smeared, it's not fully stamped.
Yeah. So they said, you know, this is what it says. The date of the United States postmark stamped on the cover of the return, is mailed shall be the date of delivery. If it's illegible, you can then present extrinsic evidence. That's what the section says. Mm-hmm. So here you are, Mike. You're sitting on the throne of justice. You got your big gavel here. Mm-hmm. You've got a taxpayer who argues they should be able to present extrinsic evidence to prove that they timely filed their return because they mailed it, and they want to present evidence that they were there with Mildred, as you said, at the post office on that particular day. Or do you side with the IRS in this particular regard and say, hey, look, you're out of luck, taxpayer. There is no postmark on this envelope. You can't produce extrinsic evidence to show that it was timely mailed, timely filed. Therefore, we received it on the 24th. You're 9 days late.
Yep.
Tough. Tough taxpayer.
I hate to side with the IRS, but there's nothing that comes before me in my court here that says that, you know, you have any proof that you dropped this in the mail at the deadline. Sorry, you're out $70,000. Next case.
Ding, ding, ding.
God, that hurts.
Mike's correct.
What have we talked, Andrew, over the... You took me to school. We rang the bell and I went to school. I had a file with the IRS for an additional form. I spent the $2 or $3 to get it, you know, certified or registered, whatever it is, you know.
Certified mail return receipt request.
Here it is. I have it, and I got it in black and white, printed from the U.S. Postal Service. Now, let me ask you a question. Had they put their four little stamps on there, and they presented it to the mail clerk at the desk, and they put the indicia, and they saw it properly stamped, and it had the date on there, would they have been better, good to go?
Oh, yeah. Well, then they could have, if it was smeared, like we talked about, then they could present extrinsic evidence of the fact that this was just an illegible postmark. Fact is that it never got postmarked.
Yeah.
Never postmarked.
And that happens, too. I just received a letter or a bill or a check yesterday from a chamber member, and it came through to us, but the stamp was never canceled.
Correct.
And it happens. It happens.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, this is just an example of telling our listeners, we always talk about how these tax court cases, we don't get into equitable arguments.
Yeah.
We get into legal arguments. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the law here, frankly, was very clear that they could not present extrinsic evidence.
Well,
and the fact that you'd like to say, well, equities would say that they should get a break here.
Hey, it is what it is. But here's the other takeaway. Don't wait till the last minute.
Yeah.
Had they dropped it in the mail March 15th, within that three-year window, it would have been okay.
That's right.
Cancel stamp or no cancel stamp.
That's right.
Don't wait till the last minute. You're getting money back. Get it. It's yours. It's not theirs. Now it is theirs.
Well, the important thing there, Mike, is too, is if you wait to the last minute, do it the right way, which is go ahead and get your certified mailing done.